Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 14th of January. I'm Paul White, and today I'm in Isaiah chapter 54, and we're dealing with, not verse by verse, but really almost concept to concept at this point, as 53, 54 are so loaded. I want to deal with the concept today of our heavenly husband. This is a decidedly new covenant sound when you start talking about Jesus as the husband or the head of the church being the bride of Christ. I say decidedly new covenant because, well, first of all, Jesus is not a character of the Old Testament, but also the husband imagery is not near as stark in the Old Covenant, though, as you might imagine, the fact that I told you we're in Isaiah 54 and that we're dealing with concepts, and then I mention husband, you must know it appears in Isaiah 54. It does. Before we read it, let's just shore up that idea of that new covenant image of a husband with the bride. The New Testament tries to give us various ways to identify with the familial spirit of the new covenant, the family atmosphere. It's not just a new covenant concept. Family atmosphere is not. In fact, I think it's why we see such an emphasis on family and marriage in the Garden of Eden, because it's the very early understanding of the nature of God. If he would give man woman from man's side, and then together they would procreate on the earth, little miniature versions of themselves they're supposed to take care of, it would tend to cause us to believe that the heartbeat of God is family, marriage, and parentage, that those relationships are the best reflection of who we are. Marriage is not something that happens post-fall. It's not as if man is by himself, and then he's fine, and then he fails, and so then God gives him a helper. That would seem to indicate that marriage was an afterthought. But marriage is listed as happening before, and they're commanded to replenish the earth before the fall. Therefore, these are the concepts that are the heart of God. When you see Jesus in the New Testament, and I don't mean simply the Gospels, but on through the epistles and into the Revelation, you are seeing God as a man on the earth, and you begin to see the change in terminology from the Gospels to the Revelation of the role that Jesus plays. He introduces his disciples to the Father. In John 17, he says that he had given them the Father's name, allowing them to call him Father, Abba Father. Paul picks that up in Galatians and in Romans, that the Spirit cries out in us, Abba, Daddy, God. And then we're introduced to the concept of a husband in that Paul talks about this mystery of two becoming one flesh, really being Christ and his church, that we are in union with Christ, and that he is just as an earthly husband is to an earthly wife, so Christ is over his church. And then the Revelation, which is the close of the canon of the New Testament, has John looking into the heavens and seeing a city, New Jerusalem, descending down from God out of heaven. Before he sees that, he is told by the angel, I'm going to show you what the bride looks like, the Lamb's bride. And then that bride is New Jerusalem, a city. If you put that with Hebrews 12, you find that in Hebrews 12, we are no longer at an old covenant mountain called Sinai. We are at a new mountain called Zion, and on that mountain is a city. Correlate that with what Jesus called his disciples, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. And what you have found is that you, in your present possession, are a city. You are, why a city? Because a city is unlike a garden. The Bible starts in a garden and ends in a city. Starts in a garden because in a garden you're alone and you're taking care of the earth. In a city, you are together and you're taking care of each other. And that's the ultimate end game. It's not just isolated people in gardens taking care of their own patch of property. This isn't a political statement. It's not as if we're all supposed to end up in cities, but figuratively, we go from just taking care of that patch of property to being part of something bigger than ourselves, being part of the whole, and being responsible for our neighbor, and and this diverse sort of melting pot of ideas and races and languages and backgrounds all constituting the city. And that is the bride of Christ. He is husband. Listen to this prophecy and remember where it is contained. Isaiah 54, following the Calvary chapter of Isaiah 53. Verse 5, your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. So we get the introduction to the concept of the maker as the husband. That's the creator as the husband over all the land of Israel. And then the redeemer is also the Holy One of Israel, the God over the whole earth. Israel's like a woman, a youthful wife, refused and forsaken and crying about it, and God has become a husband to her. This gets reimagined in the New Covenant as the bride of Christ, that Redeemer, that Holy One of Israel. So to say that the husband image is entirely New Covenant is not really true, but to admit that it isn't fulfilled until the New Covenant, I think is true. It doesn't come into play as a way of self-identification until we get the Holy One of Israel. Without the Holy One, we don't have that figurehead of the spouse. The Creator is our husband, but it doesn't mean much to us until we can see love, because the object of the husband is to love. Husbands, Paul said, love your wives as Christ loved the church. We don't see love until we see the cross. The cross teaches us love, thus the cross introduces us to the person of the husband, Christ Jesus. And we go from knowing that our Creator is our husband to seeing our Redeemer as our husband. And that makes all the difference in the world. There's more to say in Isaiah 54, and we'll say a little bit more of it tomorrow. I'll see you then. Have a great day. God bless.